Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Yeah.
Hump Day?
Oh, yeah.
Hump Day?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Good one.
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss.
Yeah.
Dustin the Great. Oh, you gave us a yes so good the first time that we didn't get the second one.
Used it all up.
Country back in the production
room. Yeah.
Yes.
Hump day.
Here it is. We got a great show for you guys tonight. In fact, all of us are coming in a little bit hot. Everybody's coming from a bit of a different location. We have, I'm coming from Jacksonville, which is an exciting city, and I love it here. But I'll tell you, we have somebody coming in from Biloxi, fresh off the boat. We got the boss man coming in right out of Paris. So we divided and we conquered, and we picked up all sorts of poker information and knowledge over the last week since we left you last. And we are bringing that back to you guys today. So I know Dustin has some fun stories. He's been doing some playing and had to, last week, if you joined us, Fausto was with us, and he talked a little bit about adjusting and how you play based on whether you're playing on the East Coast, whether you're in the West Coast, whether you're Central. And so I know that, Dustin, since you've been traveling, you probably had to deal with a lot of that.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that looks like. And as poker is exploding, there's so much going on everywhere. Mask mandates are coming off. People are more relaxed. People are able to get out vaccinated, and we're sort of getting back to our normal routine, or as normal as we remember it being. I do have to say, I'm going to call myself out because I did something very silly yesterday. So I was on Helmets and Heels yesterday evening. And one of the questions was about the mask mandate at Best Bet. And, now I have not been in there in over a week, sad to say, but it is true. As I said, the boss is coming back from Paris, so I have been, you know, head down, focused on other things. And when they asked me about masks, I said, yes, you still need to wear a mask. And guess what? Incorrect. So about, as I think it was Monday or Tuesday last week, so it's been just about a week, masks are now optional. And I think that players are probably enjoying that quite a bit.
They are, and it's, you know, after going for over a year with the masks, it's actually really interesting. You know, I was walking around on the floor today, and you see people, and you get to see their whole face again.
Mm-hmm.
So you just relearn what people look like, and you know, as you're saying, I have been traveling a little bit this past week, so I had to wear a mask 100% of the time while traveling. But the so when I'm walking around the poker room, I feel like I'm missing something without my mask. Like, did I forget something? What am I missing? You know, what's going on?
You realize you have to shave a little bit more frequently?
Yeah, now everybody
You're
has
like,
to
man,
shave.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no escaping, right? Women have to put their makeup on again. Guys, you got to start shaving again. We got all comfortable hanging out behind that mask, and now all of a sudden,
We've got a slew of new employees at the room, right? Because we've been hiring like crazy, and I didn't realize how many of them I'd just never seen their face.
Yeah,
now they don't have
masks,
and I'm like, oh, sure. Wow, your face doesn't look anything like I imagined it would look.
Yeah, it's totally
a curveball.
Weird.
Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worst, but it's definitely a curveball.
It's a total curveball.
Yeah.
And you're right, sometimes better, sometimes worse. Sometimes you're like, whoa, hey, what's
going
on?
Like,
and other times you're like,
I feel like there's a new game here that's sort of like Mr. Potato Head. It could be like Mr. or Mrs. like poker player. And it could be like remove the mask and you have to put the face on that you think that they look like and see how close you get to the actual face. Like, I feel like there's a game in there somewhere.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
You know what?
I feel like this is going to be wrapped and underneath my tree at Christmas time.
Yeah. When everybody was making the designer masks and the different, you know, weird faces on the mask and stuff that really looked funny when people are wearing a mask with a weird face on it. I thought it'd be cool to take a picture of yourself and have that printed on the front of your mask.
That would be funny.
I've seen that.
Really?
Yeah, like the bottom half of somebody's face as the mask.
As the mask.
Yeah, it
looks
look a little strange. Yeah, especially when they're talking and their mouth's not moving.
I feel like it would be fun if I had your face on my mask.
That would be really fun.
The bearded lady.
Right? And then you could have my face on your mask.
Jesse and, with and lipstick.
This would be amazing.
That would be funny.
It'd be like the his and hers.
Like we switch masks for the day.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a lot of fun. All right. So many things are going on as we talk about the world is starting to get back to normal. People are traveling. Everything is going on. Poker's back. Casinos are back. Everybody's back. We're ready, right? We're going to take life by storm. So as we take life by storm, here's some fun things that have happened. The Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas was robbed on Tuesday.
Whoa.
So you don't hear too often about a casino being robbed, number one. Number two, you don't hear generally about a casino being robbed, that casino being a strip property and one of the most frequented properties in Las Vegas. So somebody decides to go in, Ronald Allison, this guy's got to wreck my name. What's up with that? 51 years old, enters the Cosmopolitan around 6:30 a.m. on Tuesday, walks up to the cashier cage, takes a big duffel bag, drops it on the counter with a note that he passes to the teller.
Old school.
Yeah. It's like, you know, do you like me?
I like
check yes
or no. I like the old
no?
school style yeah. there.
Do you want a date? Check yes or no. That kind of a thing. Like, he takes it and the note says, give me 10K purple or boom.
Very old school.
So, exactly.
Boom. Yeah. Was it like the emoji, like the cartoon boom, right. Like from Batman?
I had a lot of questions about the note, and it's a good thing I was in the cashier because I feel like I would have looked at the man and been like, I need you to clarify. let's talk about what this note means. But the cashier takes the chips, does as he's supposed to do. He says he felt threatened because he heard like a loud bang on the counter. He thought it was maybe a weapon and maybe he was his life was in jeopardy. So he puts the chips or whatever he puts in the bag and then presses the panic button underneath the cashier counter, which is what you do, right? So the guy doesn't even make it out of the hotel. I mean, he doesn't even get out off the property before the police show up and take the guy away. But so I guess my question is, would it have been easier to try to rob a casino prior to them removing the mask mandates? And like you waited all of the sudden you can't wear a mask anymore.
Right.
You can't wear a mask now in the casino. So we're going to wait until they say you must show your face. Now we're going to go in and rob the Cosmo.
Yeah, he's a little late. Also, a little hint about robbing casinos. There's this funny thing that pretty much every casino has, and that's lots of cameras.
Yeah.
Pretty standard.
Lots of cameras. So
and plenty of alarms.
And plenty of alarms. Yeah, it's really kind of a silly.
Isn't it true that for the most part, they always try to put like the cashier and the vault like in the center of the casino, like the furthest from any exit point, you know, as part of like an anti.
Yeah.
Like a strategy.
In general, the cage is always towards the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a smart idea.
No, actually, Cosmopolitan cage is actually fairly close to the door.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the Cosmo
is. Oh, really?
In general,
and maybe that's why you picked that spot.
In general, you're right. Most of the cage is usually in the middle or towards the back. But that Cosmopolitan cage is pretty close to the door.
He did his homework.
He did his homework. Yeah.
It took him so long that it took him so
took
long,
him so
that
long
to
his homework that he
that
couldn't
he
wear a mask.
That he couldn't wear a mask anymore. So his plan was like half foiled. All right. So the South Point Casino, they had a nice little fire, an electrical fire that happened in the casino. Now I watched this video and it's really funny because one of the poker pro Ronnie Barda, I think is how you say it, Ronnie Barda. Tweeted something saying, yeah, I'm actually here at South Point. It is, in fact, a fire. It's an electrical fire. Yes, the casino is, in fact, has flames inside of it.
And yes, are still playing cards.
Yes, nobody's moving. Yes, we're all going to. Everybody looks around. They're like, is it really a fire? They're like, well, there's smoke. Smoke? Smoke's fine. Yes. Flames? I don't see flames. Everybody continue to play. But nobody moves. The alarm goes off. The casino's filling with smoke. They're committed. They're not
committed,
going anywhere.
I'll never forget when the Monte Carlo was on fire and it was on the news and I was working at Wynn and you could see the flames billowing out the top.
Yeah, AJ Trigger just mentioned that.
And I called over to the poker room because our friend Matthew was working the poker room there on the floor. And I said, hey, Matthew, this is Jesse. What's going on? He goes, we're still playing. That's all he said. He goes, we're still playing.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're the last people leaving.
This doesn't surprise me as much as it should.
You're right.
It's so bizarre though, right? Like, here's the funny thing. Like, imagine if that happened anywhere other than a casino.
Right.
Do people just like bolt out of the, like nobody's like, are there actually flames or is it just smoke?
Like
the
Target, only time, like Target. They're like, oh right. No, wait, I have to finish getting my groceries. I don't care if it's on fire.
It or I feel like if you're in Florida and it's like torrential downpour, somebody might look out and be like, I'm going to take my Campbell with the flames.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I don't see any fire yet. We'll just stay here.
Yeah, it's funny.
It is funny. So huge shout out to a couple people here. Chance Cornuth, big shout out to him. He wins a title, the 2021 Mid-Stakes Poker Tour at the Venetian, $1,600 buy-in, defeating a massive field of over 2,000 players.
Wow, what a beast.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's his first MSPT title, the top prize of over $400,000. So this brings his career earnings in terms of tournaments to $8.6 million.
Wow.
And lifetime earnings to Chance Cornuth. So big shout out to him. Super awesome. Another shout out, Sean Winner.
Sean Winner.
This is always fun. I love it when we get two people, two local Floridians that secure bracelets or pick up like a big win because it's fun to kind of compare them. And these guys are pretty close to the same age. I mean, there's not, they're pretty close to the same age. So Sean Winner wins the U.S. Poker Open, 2021 U.S. Poker Open, $50,000 buy-in, no limit hold'em event, 42 entries.
Wow.
Picking up $2.1 million. Now he wins this tournament. So he wins $750,000, takes home the championship and boosts his career earnings into $17
million. Wow.
Now, here's what I think is interesting.
I didn't realize
about that.
He was up that high at $17 million in tournament earnings.
Here's what's interesting about that. This is his fourth largest payday of his career. Fourth largest, and he picks up $750,000, okay? Chance Cornuth, who has 19 recorded tournament titles, has $8.6 million in earnings. So not only does Sean Winner have virtually double, right? He has fewer titles. But he's playing those huge
buy-in
amounts. So
much
his
bigger
the prize pools are much larger, right?
Yeah,
so he doesn't have as many
the field
wins.
Is much more condensed in those,
events. And I know we've talked about this a lot, but I feel like if I had the ability to just play the high roller events with the small field of 42 players, I would love that much more. And I know you're getting the cream of the crop,
sure.
And it's a tough field. I get that, but I feel like I thrive in those tournaments.
And this somebody online just said Sam Soverall, another Florida player, just won another a 10K PLO at the U.S. Poker Open event number two.
Go Sam. Well, and Sam Soverall made the final table. So the final table of this 50K high roller, you have Sean Winner, Stephen Chadwick, Jason Kuhn, Jonathan Little, Sam Soverall, and Bill Klein.
Wow.
That's
a
juicy
lineup.
Little lineup right Jeez. There, right? I mean...
That's a tough spot there.
It is a tough spot, but you know what? So that should even attest more to Sean Winner's play and his success in this tournament.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's
Well, I would say all three of these guys, Chance, Sean, and Sam, so overall, are all great players. They all sort of, I think, came up similarly as far as a lot of online play as well as live play, and they're just – They're three players that we will continue to hear lots of.
Also, shout out to Jonathan Little. He's like almost in that lineup. He's almost an old school guy. So
yeah, you're right.
Shout out to
him. He took fourth.
Yeah, shout out to him for keeping with it, you know, and just remaining relevant. Because I mean, he's probably a little older than most of those guys
by far,
like 2 years. Which is like a lot in terms of, in poker years, that's a lot,
he's
right?
He's probably
like,
10 years older.
Yeah, he's got him by, years. Got him at least a decade.
Yeah, he's probably like 10 years older by Winner and Cornuth.
Dog years and poker years, the other
side. Right.
They're very similar, realistically speaking. They're kind of the same. All right, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, we have plenty of things to give away. Lots of stuff on the horizon. The Card Player Poker Tour is joining us. We have the next 1010XL main event, which is on the calendar the first part of July. We have some tickets to give away to you guys in the coming weeks. Plus, I believe we have a $50 tournament voucher that we're going to give away on the show. And the World Series of Poker schedule has been released. And there's somebody that you might get to see come out of retirement again this year for the WSOP. That and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country in the booth. All right, as we're coming back, we're talking about World Series of Poker. The entire schedule has been released. Everybody's kind of jonesing to know what's going on. Everybody's ready to get back to Vegas, back into the one and only World Series of Poker, right? It's been shifted from the summer months to now the fall. So they kick off, I believe, September 29th, is that right? Or September 30th is the first day. September 30th is the first day. It runs through November 21st, which is the start of the main event. There are 88 total events in the series and tons of new events this year. And I think that it's interesting the way that they kind of shifted the structure. And we talk a little bit about the new events that happened every year, and they're always adding something or changing something a little bit. But this year, I feel like they've changed a lot of things. And I don't know if it's just due to the nature of maybe the change in time, maybe the change in knowing that you know, the World Series might change forever in terms of how many people play, what types of events they will play, the length of time they're willing to sit, and those types of things. So often it's been the case where the World Series, you only see maybe three events that are under the $1,000 mark. You always have the casino employee event, which is a $500 event. It kicks off the World Series every year, traditionally. And then they had the Colossus, which was a $500 event. And then they had the Millionaire Maker or something, right?
I think Millionaire Maker's 1,000.
Okay, so there was like another one in there, but basically
there
was
some
just 888.
Yeah, the Crazy Eights.
Yeah, the Crazy Eights. But even those were new in the last couple of years. But
yeah, because traditionally there was nothing under 1,000.
Only the casino employee event. Right. So now we've boosted that up, and over the last couple of years, there's been like maybe three, maybe four maximum, right? But not many. This year, when you look at the schedule, there are a ton of events.
Really?
That are under the $1,000 price point.
Yeah, and the Colossus is only 400 this year.
It's only 400?
Colossus is 400, yeah. Because they're doing the 500, they're doing the big reunion. I think they're just going to replicate the big 50 structure, and they're just going to call it the reunion.
And the big 50 was the anniversary, right? Yeah. The 50-year anniversary of WSOP?
2 years ago. It
2 years ago.
Feel like it, but yeah. We missed a whole summer.
I know, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
So is, right, so this is 51 years.
This is 51 52 years later.
51
yeah. Hashtag.
Yeah. Hyphen.
Hyphen, yeah.
Yeah.
So there is also a super high roller that's a $250,000 buy-in.
Oh, no sweat.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, we could just, you know, maybe pool our money. Get in that one.
We could pool our money and then have to sell the other 90%.
We can pull our money together.
We're going to have to hit the blackjack tables and run it up.
And then sell about 95% of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so
to put one of us in.
So here's my question, right? All right. So we have somebody buying into a tournament for $250,000. Presumably, we're going to get like 18 or 20 people, right? That's probably a good number. 20 people would be huge,
yeah.
So how many of those players are selling action, and how many of the people that are buying action have action and multiple players at the table? Like, how many people are you putting in, right? Because
like, who's the gazillionaire that puts in like five people just for fun?
Like, who is it that's actually putting in $250,000 and has 100% of themselves? Is there anybody?
Yeah.
How many people? Not that many.
No,
I would say sub 20%.
Oh gosh, yeah. For sure.
Well, if there's 20 people in the tournament, I would say, yeah, maybe five people. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't even think there's that many. But what's interesting about that is who's putting them in, and how many of those people that are putting them in are putting in the same players
you
that
have
they're playing against,
the
same
Bill
field.
Clients and the John Gordons and guys like that that can put themselves in.
Sure. Yep. But just because they can doesn't mean that they do.
Those guys probably do because... Mm-hmm.
Because it's just $250,000.
It's just $250,000.
Like, drop in the bucket, no problem. But do you see what I'm saying? Like you
but
have
those
this-
are recreational players. Also, those aren't pro mm-hmm. players. Those are right. guys with a lot of money who've done well in business who are recreational poker players. So who does that as a poker player? Probably
nobody. But then you take those that core of those people that are playing in that event, right? And you say, okay, we're taking the cream of the crop of these players. Who's backing them? A lot of them have the same people that are investing in them playing. So I guess my question is, how many, like, if you only have 20 people, like, in the field, there's, and you, like, have one guy who's supporting,
yeah,
like,
yeah, there's only, like, four benefactors.
Yeah, you have,
right,
one guy who's putting, yeah, everybody in, or a lot of people in. It kind of,
he's hedging.
He's going to lose the juice.
He is totally going to lose the juice.
I think sometimes with those guys, though, it's not so much a matter of them not having the money. I think it's just them not wanting to have that much
exposure.
Minimize
the variance, sure, of course.
In such a tough field.
Some of them
nothing to do with being financially
right.
able. It has to do with whether or not that's the smart thing to do. And you're right. having other people that are investing in you so you can minimize your variance. And that's the smart sure. way to play tournaments.
Right. For most people, it's not going to be a smart thing to put up that amount of money.
Right, but who's the Bill Perkins that has everybody coming and I'm going, hey, man, there's this $250K buy-in tournament. He's yeah. like, literally everybody I know is asking me to put him in this tournament.
And does somebody, like, we'll use Bill Perkins as an example because yeah. this could happen. Does sure. Bill Perkins play in the event, and does he put people in the event also?
It's possible.
Play yeah. against his own money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird spot.
Weird to think about for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird spot. But I would assume that tournament's not going to get more than 20 people.
Yeah, but if I put myself in and I put you in, I still want to win because I get 100% of that instead yep. of 50% of yeah. you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Interesting,
yeah.
though.
You have 100% equity in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be the case that the main event was the only $10,000 buy-in tournament.
That's right.
There's literally like a dozen of them now.
There's a $10,000 Raz tournament. Raz only, yeah. 10K.
There's a wow. Raz championship for 10K. There's a Super Turbo Bounty No Limit for 10K. There's a 7-card stud, 8 or better for 10K. Boss man, that's your
that's
tournament.
Me. That's me.
That's your tournament all day, every day. There's a whole bunch of them in a row here. Let's see.
I always wanted to play the 10K Omaha 8 or better. I thought that was my event. That
6-handed limit hold'em.
There's a deuce to 7 triple
nice.
Draw 10K.
Deuce to 7.
Pure
Love
poker.
That.
Pure poker there. Now, that event doesn't get a big field, but it gets the high limit cash old school grinders because that is a pure poker game, deuce to 7.
There's a 10K single horse.
Single draw, no limit.
Mm-hmm.
10K horse. It opens with a 25K horse.
I was like, there's a 25K PLO.
Now, there's a 50K PLO.
Oh, you've already checked the schedule. I'm like running the bosses' tournaments, any that are 10K, 50K, all of them. It's perfect.
I'm kind of interested in this $2,500 big bet mix. That I feel like that's new. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Is it half and half, or is it multiple big bet, multiple games?
Multiple big bet games? I'm not sure. I would assume it's probably just half and half. What would you say if you just read
it? If I just read that, I would be reading it as half hold'em, half PLO.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. I feel like that's a new
But they could they put, knowledge. You could have deuce to 7 in there as well.
True.
Single draw.
True. Yeah. I think that one will be interesting to sweat.
That'll be interesting. You know, they also have they call it a flip something.
I did see that. Yeah.
Now, I read it. I don't totally understand it because there is a decision you have to make. It's basically luck, but you get dealt 3 cards.
Okay.
And discard 1, which originally that was called stripper, or a version of pineapple, what we call
right.
it, stripper. I don't know. So you get 3 cards, discard 1, and then everybody's all in. You run it. One hand.
Wait, what?
That's it. You advance if you win.
So it's kind of like an all in or fold.
Except everybody's
except
all in.
Except everybody's, except you don't make a decision. You just no. buy, you just gamble.
You make
you
one decision. Which card to discard?
No, yeah, you make one decision. You decide to buy into the tournament. Like
so that's if you get, I mean, I guess you just pick the best hand, right?
That's this 1K flip and go no limit hold'em?
Yeah, yeah, 1K flip and go.
I was wondering what that was.
That's nuts.
If you win your table, you advance to the next table.
Whole tournament takes 45 minutes.
It takes longer to move people from table to table and get all the people who just lost out of the tournament area than it does to play the tournament.
And it's a bracelet event. Somebody's going to get a bracelet for 45 minutes worth of work.
Yeah.
For 1K, for just a 1K gamble. Imagine the rebuy line in that thing.
Oh, my God. I mean, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Prize pool is going to be huge just from everyone rebuy.
Is there re-entries in that?
God, how could there not be?
There has to be.
Has to be.
The line will never go down, though.
It'll never end.
Every time you play a hand, there's, you know, are they playing
there's
nine-handed?
There's 700 people.
They're going to be nine-handed at the reel, right?
I don't know. That's a really good question, actually. I haven't read anything about it.
Here, let me look. I got the WSOP thing up here. I'll find it for you. That's really what happens with the flip and go?
Yeah. So every hand, there's eight people per table back in line.
Prize pool is going to be over $1 million. It's going to be a $1K buy-in, over $1 million in the prize pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, somebody's going to win $500,000 off of just nothing.
A scratch-off, basically.
Winning four all-ins in a row.
It's basically a shootout. You just kill your whole table one hand.
It is effectively a shootout, yeah.
Now, that sounds like a drinking kind of tournament. Right? That's the kind of tournament you go to Vegas for. You win a bracelet face down. Like, that's what you do.
I think you got to plan.
Because you don't need to do anything.
Like Jesse said, I think you got to plan to be into that one for like 9 to 10K.
Guns says you flip the first hand, winner goes to a regular tourney format and is in the money.
So weird.
So you win one hand and then you're automatically in the money. And then you play a traditional tournament.
Wow.
Wild.
That is nuts.
I'm going to need to read more about this.
I kind of feel like we all need to go,
but here's the thing. What happens if you're at the table with your buddy? How terrible is it if you draw, you play the tournament, and you're at the same table as your buddy? That's terrible.
Swap. You have to swap. You have to save a big percentage.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, it looks like nine-handed. Everything will be played nine-handed.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you win one table, you're in the money. I mean, the thing about tournament poker is we love it, right? We love the spirit of competition. We love the play. It's exhausting, especially these long tournaments with lots of chips. They take forever.
Yeah.
And it takes you forever and ever and ever just to make it into the money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you play for forever and ever, and then you get knocked out just before the money. Mm-hmm. At least this way, you're bang in the money. Now you play poker.
Oh, there it is. I love it.
I kind of like it.
I kind of like it, too. I feel like it's a lot of fun. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Dustin's going to tell us all about his Biloxi-style poker play. Kind of how he adapted, how he adjusted. What do the games look like over there? I can't wait to hear about it. And I know you came in literally hot, flying from Biloxi to here, ran in with no time to spare. So I've heard none of your poker stories. I'm looking forward to it. I'm still in my
gym shorts and my hoodie, like literally straight from Biloxi to here.
Straight from
Absolutely
the poker table.
Perfect. Plus, we have some merchandise to give away to you guys when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. If you guys are just joining us, we've been kicking around the World Series of Poker schedule, talking about what that looks like, how it's quickly coming upon us, and it's back in place. It is scheduled in the fall of this year, and I wonder if it will remain in the fall moving forward or if they're going to shift it and put it back during the summertime.
Although I'm sure everybody wants it to remain in the fall just because it's, for the very reason that everybody wants it in the fall is the reason that it will go back to the summer.
Right.
And that's because, Vegas is hot in the summer and there's not near as much tourist action. Or visitors in the summer months. So they put the World Series there for that reason because there are less people. And A, they need people to come to town.
They do.
And B, the hotels aren't as full, so it's a better time slot.
That's very true. And speaking of, drawing people to the World Series of Poker, I saw this article talking about, we talk about poker players going into retirement, and one of those big players who retired, his big piece was, I'm retiring from playing the World Series of Poker, and that is the one and only Texas Dolly.
Doyle Brunson.
The last time he played a WSOP event was in 2018. He played the 10K buy-in, deuce to seven triple draw, I believe. He played with his son. The reason he played is because he could enter on day two. So his biggest thing is Brunson's kind of like, I can't sit that long anymore. I can't play that long. It's too long. So because he was able to buy into day two, that was the last WSOP tournament that he has played. So he said, I'm retired. That's it. I'm done. But he tweeted the other day and made an announcement and said, expect to see me come out of retirement for a select few of the 2021 WSOP schedule. So if you're looking to run into Doyle Brunson, this might be your last year to do that. Although we said that in 2018 as well.
He said, JK.
Yeah. He will probably be obviously cherry picking the high buy-in events where he can register late and that aren't going to – he probably won't play the main event. I don't think he'll play the main event.
I don't think he played – he didn't play the main event in 2018. No, I can't imagine he'll play it now.
Too many days.
Yeah, too long. Too much play to happen. So speaking of which, a long play and adjusting and figuring out what you need to do to make the best. Dustin, you found yourself over in Biloxi playing some poker. And we talked a little bit about that last week on the show and how those games in Biloxi tend to be their 1-3 games, but there's no cap on the buy-in.
That's right, yeah. And there's basically a straddle every hand. So basically you're playing a 3-blind game. You're playing 1-3-6 with no cap. And they just play huge. They play
massive. The game plays so big. I remember first time I played the 1-3 game in Biloxi, I was like, I don't want to play 1-3. I was like, don't you guys have like 2-5 or 5-10? They were like, no, 1-3 is it. I'm like, you don't have a 5-10 game? I said, no. I was like, this is going to be terrible.
But then
terrible.
The 1-3 game was
huge,
right?
And I sat down the 1-3 game. I walk over and I look, and I was like, literally nobody sitting at the table has under 1,500 in front of them. Not one person. That
Everyone's
was
a
short
like
stack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 1,500, between 1,500 and 5,000 in a 1-3 game. I was like, what is going on here? I don't understand
this. That makes for fun poker.
It makes for such fun poker. So you find yourself there in a very different game than what runs traditionally here that you're used to playing in. So how do you find yourself adjusting, especially after we had just had this conversation last week?
So ironically, in these games, like Ali said, they play very deep. There's a straddle almost every hand, so it makes the game even bigger. But the one thing that I noticed pretty much immediately is that I can really only think of one bluff that I got through the entire 4 days that I was there. I'm not even exaggerating. I can only think of one hand that I got a bluff through. Every other time that I tried to bluff, I got called. They just don't fold. They just do not fold. And this could be a byproduct of poker in general post-pandemic because I haven't traveled really anywhere besides Miami.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah.
But it was. I had to make a major strategy adjustment because – even with deep stack play, a big part of deep stack play is using leverage, but leverage doesn't exist if they don't fold.
Right.
So you can't leverage your book. You don't have any fold equity if they won't fold.
Right.
You know? No. So like
it's not a thing.
Fold equity is a huge part of your leverage, right? That's a big part of your game, and that's a big part of my strategy that I implement when we play deep stack. But there's no fold equity if they won't fold.
Yeah, so you got to switch and work on value.
So yeah, exactly. So we had to. Here's an example of a hand. This is what I'm saying when they don't fold. So this is probably the second orbit of the game. The player in the button has played almost every single hand, both orbits, and he straddles. We're under the gun plus one, and we open 7-9 of diamonds to 25 in a 1-3 game. Get called in two spots, including the button, who hasn't folded any hands. The flop comes queen, 6-4, rainbow. Mm-hmm. Pretty good flop. For us, right? So we bet 35 into what's 75. Only the button calls. Turn comes a 7. So now we pick up. My plan was just to shut it down on the turn if we didn't improve. Just check fold because he obviously has a hand or draw. Or, you know, he probably can beat 9 high. So
probably.
We turn a 7. Perfect. So now we bet like 2/3 pot. We lead for like 75 or like, you know, 95 or something like that. And he snap calls. River, 9. So now, ooh. Got him, right? So now we make 2-pair. So now I'm like, man, I hope he has a queen.
Right.
Good, come on, show me the queen.
So we bet 350 into about 250, and he beats me in the pot with his chips. I show him 2-pair.
5-8?
No, I show him 2-pair. He has 4-5 offsuit.
Oh.
Wait. He called me with bottom pair.
Wait, it came queen, 6-4-7-9?
Yeah.
And he had 4-5?
Offsuit. Yeah.
So he just had one pair.
He had bottom pair.
Did he misread his hand?
No, he said, I thought you had ace-king.
I thought you had ace-king.
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
That's the every time somebody's paying off a hand,
yeah.
I thought you had ace-king. They always put the razor on, you had ace-king, and you had just had to keep firing, otherwise you can't win. So I just
did you say, thank you. I thought I had ace-king, too.
Turns
out I was super surprised when I rolled my hand over.
I said, man, it's just a cooler. I just got like, it's just a cooler. It's just a cooler, buddy. I mean, you almost made the right hero
just
call.
Needle a little bit. Needle.
Well, he beat me in the pot with the 4-5 offsuit. And showed me. Like, most of the time, you know, players just muck, or if I'm in that spot, I just, oh, I had a queen, you know. Yeah. So, no, he shows me the 4-5 offsuit and says, I thought you had ace-king. So, right then, I knew that we cannot bluff
wow.
ever again for the rest of the whole duration of the trip.
Shut it down.
Yeah, so we did have to make some kind of weird strategy adjustments where we just, like, they were just allergic to folding. They just could not do it, under no circumstances. So we just completely had to take bluffs out of the range. And so
yeah.
in so order to do that.
So did you find yourself, let me ask you this question before you go into the bluff thing. Did you find yourself, because you know that they're calling, were you over betting on the end because of that? Were you getting extreme value?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the really only way to do it. If you're going to eliminate the bluffing part of your whole range, you have to make up for it in some point because we don't have leverage. So a big part of our EV comes from bluffs. Like they just kind of get us to break even so that our value hands can kind of flourish. So when you eliminate that and you're just left with only value in just a normal game, you know, in theory, you should just never get paid.
Right.
Right? If you just eliminate all of your bluffs and you only, like if you're playing against the guy that only three bets aces, what do you do when he three bets? You just fold.
You
right?
fold, right.
It's kind of the same thing. So, but, and this was like bizarro world because we only play value hands and we always get called. So in order to do that, we had to just really, really, really shrink down.
It makes for
in order to
an
do
easy
that,
game.
In order to do that, you start opening to 25 in a 1-3 game.
It makes for an easy like game, but 8X. You have to unthink in your brain because in your brain, you get dealt a hand like 7-8 suited, and you're like, wow, this is a great hand. This is always a raise and sometimes a 3-bet, but like you actually, it should be a fold from a lot of formations.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's a hand that works better in a deep spot when you can use fold equity and leverage.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I was going to say you're open with the 7-9s a little spicy there.
It actually, going back and thinking about it, it actually was a really debatable open for
yeah,
sure. That's,
yeah, no question.
It's a pretty normal open in a standard 100 big blind cap game or even playing like 200 big blinds deep in a normal game. It's an okay open, but against this guy in that environment, it was a little suspect. But the reason that I decided, and I thought about that when I got dealt the hand, but the reason I decided to open it was because there's nothing better than playing a big pot against a loose guy that you know you have a skill edge against. And also, if you only open the value hands, they're going to catch on. Like, they're not idiots. So you have to have some garbage in there. And
you have to have some garbage in there, and you have to give action, but they're not going to catch on.
I mean, they might. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
No,
but
you do have to. You have to balance it, and you have to. You can't just only raise value hands.
I think that's a mistake that a lot of players make. You know, is in those situations that are really volatile, really where people are really, really like call happy. They try to just like shrink it up and just like only play like kind of nut pedal. But I think the opposite is what you should be doing because these guys are there splashing around. You should be splashing around too, just not as much. So then you have the skill edge on top. So even when you are splashing around, you have the skill edge, but you have to give action because these guys are here to gamble, clearly.
Yeah. If you don't give action, you're not going to get action.
Right? But here's the thing. If you're in a game like that also, if your bluffs are never working, they're probably not bluffing you that much either.
I mean, that's a good thought, but you know.
So you're right, maybe
their environment, they don't like bluffs. They just don't bluff each other.
You're right in that
nobody folds.
You do need to splash around a little more because there's so much value in getting involved in hands where people are going to pay you off with substandard hands, you know, with bottom pair and middle pair when you got top pair with a bad kicker or even second pair and you can get value out of second pair.
Yeah.
The only scary part is having to try to get, you know, knowing that you're betting for value with, you know, second pair.
Right. Well, in those spots, you could do a lot of check calling, you know, kind of take you back to bluff catching.
And they're not going to, that's what I'm saying, you can check call a lot of those marginal hands because they're probably not going to bluff you out of the pot.
Yeah. Those guys, what happens with those guys is they just get to the later streets with way too many hands. And so, like what the way you beat those guys is like, what actually, I just talked about this with Fausto. Shout out to my guy Fausto last week called back in aggression, where it's a lot of checking 100 on the flop and then check raising a lot of turns and rivers because these guys are just going to end up with way too many hands.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, in these splashy games. So a lot of back in aggression will get you paid.
Limp calling early and check raising late.
Well, you can raise and then like kind of turn it into check call mode or call, like cold call pre and then, you know, check call, whatever. But in this game, the check raise has to be a value hand. Even it could even be an underpair, like tens on a queen high board or jacks on a king high board or something like that. You could even start check raising
But not a bluff.
Not a bluff. Not you can't do it there. You have to do it with a pretty decent amount of equity, a
marginal hand.
Yeah, it was very strange. It was interesting. We ended up some money, obviously. You know, once we made the switch to value only, mm-hmm.
Value town.
Yeah, but it was weird. It was a very weird dynamic, and it lends more to that. That poker is just so good right now. There's just money everywhere.
There is money everywhere, and poker's really great now. So let me ask you this question: Do you find like so you? You end up in a situation where you're in a game and you're eliminating something that we all love. One piece of the game that we all love, we trust, we know, and we implement, or most of us, in our game, which is those bluffing hands, right? Those bluff hands that you're getting. So when you have to remove something entirely from your playbook and it's nothing that you implement and you're really kind of isolating your play into one specific area, right? Which is you're not bluffing. You're only playing value hands. You're really condensing your play. Do you find that you get super bored at the table, or are you kind of like, oh, it's fine, and move
on? I think poker's really,
get bored when that happens.
I think poker's really entertaining, and in a wild game like that, there's just always a big crazy hand happening. Uh-huh. You know, like
I suppose that's true.
So it's not a boring environment. It's hard to be. For me personally, it's hard to be bored because I like poker. So like, I'm just watching. I'm like, wow, he has that. Like, whoa, he called with that. Whoa, he called me with 4-5 offsuit. Like, if I was on the sidelines, I'd be like, whoa, that guy bet 350 and he got a snap call with bottom pair. Like, it's just
bottom pair with bottom kicker. What is happening?
Yeah, to me, I never actually got bored because there was always, you know, there was a lot of multi-way pots. There was a lot of big hands, and there was always something wild happening in the game. You would just like, you know, be like, oh wow, whoa, that guy has this hand. Where like, you know, a tighter game is, you know, fold around to the, like, I never saw a pot get chopped. I probably only saw 25 hands not get straddled. Like there was just always action.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, that sounds like we're going to have to make a trip to New Orleans.
It's very fun.
Luxy, have a little drinks, maybe Decatur Street.
Eat some mud bugs.
Eat some mud bugs. Get some beads. I don't know how we get those beads, but we'll figure it out, I'm certain, when we get there. But we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, wrapping up the program. All right, as promised, we have that wonderful merchandise of your choice. We will take the fifth caller right now, 641-1010. 641-1010, the fifth caller. They will get to choose the merchandise of their liking, and you can pick it up either at the Jacksonville property or in Orange Park. So as we've been talking, all this stuff going on in the poker world, poker's really booming. It's exploding. We have the Card Player Poker Tour that is hot on our heels. In fact, event number one kicks off tomorrow. So event one starts tomorrow. There are 12 total events. The main event featuring a $2,500 buy-in. It will be a no-limit hold'em tournament. If you don't feel like putting up the money for that and you want to satellite in, tonight's a great night to be in the card room. 7 o'clock p.m., there is a mega satellite, 5-seat guarantee. $380 will get you into that satellite. You're going to want to be in Jacksonville. So again, that's starting in about 5 minutes. Registration is probably open for the boss man. First six levels. Do you know?
I'll tell you right now.
It's six and a break.
Six
and a break.
Be like roughly like 9:15, 9:20-ish.
So you got until just a little bit after 9 to go ahead and come in and participate in that mega satellite. Again, $380 and 5-seat guarantee. Card Player Poker Tour, as I said, kicks off tomorrow. Tons and tons of events. You can go to bestbetjacks.com, get all the details on any of the events. There is a ladies event next Tuesday. So shout out to all the ladies. Put it on your calendar. Ladies event only. It's a $360 buy-in or $360 buy-in. So ladies, it's a great price point. It's going to be tons and tons of fun. I'm certain there will be a featured, stream throughout the entire tournament or just the final table.
We'll live stream a feature and final of the ladies event.
Awesome. So ladies, you are going to be on display throughout the entire
complete
event
with strawberries and champagne.
We love it. Also, don't forget the 1010XL main event is coming up here on July 7th. So again, Frangie and crew will be live in the room, and then we will host our show live right there at Best Bet Jacksonville. And then we will have the 1010XL main event that will start exactly promptly at 6 o'clock p.m. Now, don't forget, this is a ton of fun. This is a great tournament, $110 Price point, there are 5 bounties, so you knock any of those bounties out. You get $110 back on the spot. And, you know, this is a fun tournament. This is one of those tournaments that you get recreational players, first-time players, people having a good time, everybody hanging out, having fun, and that's what this tournament is about. Our record number of players, I was trying to remember last night, was it 275 or 370?
375.
375. Yeah. We're looking to knock that out of the park. That's going to do it for us tonight. Go to bestbetjacks.com for all other information. But don't go anywhere. End of the night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McNeil saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.